Everybody took it.
Expect a return.
It took 17 days to get through.
Okay.
Wow.
Right, because you wrote quarantine after 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Be part of your life for just a minute.
Otherwise, everybody's 17 days. Or what, maybe a false negative or a true negative, who knows, but. Since then, now we've had no issues, which is amazing with the more people.
This is an oversight.
Yeah, we're still being like this.
I think that's wise.
Which is basically an oversight.
And maybe we had somebody test positive on school.
We made some recommendations on some revisions to work here.
And got sick.
Yeah.
And probably never recommend we do that annually.
These meetings are in person.
Yeah.
If you'd like to be involved, that's okay with everybody else.
There you go.
Requesting more spending this money before, I think it was.
Truly.
It shows up on the council.
That's truly key.
What is this?
What's the reward?
It showed up as an outdoor kitchen, I'm like. Where did that come from?
We actually have more people.
I'm not seeing that. The other cities are representing.
We have about 40 people.
That's what I did, we need a committee.
No, the board.
You're probably going to get the out of town.
Because she's been two pathways. Yeah, I'm all on board for it.
Thank you.
Okay, we ready to go? All right, it is 12 o'clock. We'll call the order of the Tarrant County 911 District Board of Managers meeting for October 19th, 2020. Move forward to any agenda announcements. Okay, then we'll move to item three, consent agenda. Do we have a motion or a?
Move approval of the consent agenda.
Second, sir.
Second, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Agenda's approved. Let's move to item number four, assistance program.
If the board remembers, when we approved the budget initially, we did a six-month moratorium on the assistance programs. When we approved the budget the second time, we forgot to reinstate. So we're requesting official reinstatement as of November 1st, allowing Travis to send out the policies today or tomorrow, and with the survey out, may you request the Chief Krause in reference. I've read the policies, I understand what I need to do, and then people can start submitting November 1st.
Okay. Any disagreement? Okay, I think you have consensus to move forward. We don't need to vote on that, do we, Wayne? Okay.
Well, it's listed as an agenda item. Probably ought to vote on it.
All right.
Motion to approve.
Second. And we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Move to item five. Purchases over $25,000.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are requesting the board to approve the 2021 retirement benefit employee contribution for $167,605. This is actually a reduction in our elected rate from 10% to 7.5%. Due to the budget constraints, we reduced our elected rate.
Okay, any questions?
What does that do to our funded ratio?
It remains the same because we are still paying 0.49% higher than the elected rate, which is 100.3%.
So this is a sleeps out of our vest.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Yes.
Move approval.
Yep. You have a second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. It was a little more, a little easier this year than it has been in past years. Okay. Item B.
I'm requesting the board's approval for the RBU site's connectivity, which is the ESSER connectivity service in Motorola, the Advanced Warranty Plus, and the SUA2, which you all know you have to be part of the Clover system. This will be from go live date, so the day that we cut the PSAP or the backup site, we'll have 1 year on Motorola, and this request is for years 2 through 5. So we can pay all of our SUA two and our advanced warranty plus for year two through five, and then our Astro connectivity will be a year-to-year, which is your circuits to Eagle Mountain and Kirby DSR. And that is at $695,397.
That's for 5 years.
It's gonna be year, 4 years plus one.
So we're paying all of that at once instead of year to year?
That way we get locked in, but yes.
Do we have language in the agreement that allows us to, that allows future boards to opt out if they choose not to fund those years' payments?
Well, are we paying upfront, or are we?
No, we're not paying now.
Okay.
We don't have any radios built out currently. But you're saying once, after year five, if we want out?
No, after year three.
After year three?
Do we pay each year, or we go pass lump sum?
We pay one lump sum, and we're good year two through five. Now, I can check the verbiage and see, I've never looked at that, but.
Now, what protections do you have if you're not getting the services you expect?
I'd have to go back and review that.
And the circuits are provided.
It's something that we've never, I mean, most of us here have dealt with it, never had issues, but I can review it.
Yeah, can we have, like, legal, look at the language? I mean, they change companies, and there's a lot that can happen over a five-year period of time, and we've already committed $675,000 at one time.
Let's talk through this. I'm hearing two issues right now. The initial issue that I heard Rick bring up was, are we going to be paying this on an annual basis, and does this board have the ability to back out of the contract if we're not pleased by not funding future payments? But if we're going to make the payment up front, then it becomes more of a warranty issue, and whether or not we have the ability under the contract to enforce it, and you know, who can they assign it to? Obviously, if something really goes south and they file for bankruptcy, anything can happen. You have a long-term contract, but I think the key is to look to see whether or not the contract gives us or gives them the right to assign that to somebody else, or we'd be dealing with some entity that we have confidence in.
I think that's the point. I think what we need to hear is the structure of the contract, the details of it, and I don't think the board's interested in blanket approval of something we don't fully understand. So can we go back, Travis, and
yep, I will meet with them this week and address that.
And the circuits are provided by Motorola?
Yes. The circuits are provided by whether it's your Verizon, your Spectrum, your AT&T, or, but being the district, we don't have the interoperability team alone doesn't have the manpower to monitor and watch these circuits, where it's a kind of like a white glove service. They will get the vendor, whether it's Verizon, AT&T, they will handle the monitoring, the maintenance, the issues, the troubleshooting. If there's a fix, they will respond. It kind of takes us out of it. Since the T1s are going away in March, everyone has to be on Ethernet by March or April now.
Is it normal to pay all that up front?
This one's a new service. The Astro, that's not a 5 year, that's the 1 year. That's 1 year to year. The SUA 2 and the advanced warranty just depends on your cities. I know cities that have paid up front. There are cities that go year to year. Just depends on what you're comfortable with. If you want to take the chance of, you know, having that money year to year or getting it out of the way. Just depends on your situation.
Well, I think you could pay 5 years, but on an installment basis, I think, you know, and then we need, you know, some servability options, I think.
And that's all I'll review with them.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll hold on this.
Do you need a motion to postpone?
Yes, sir.
I'll make a motion to postpone until the following meeting.
Thank you, Mayor. Motion by the mayor. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We will hold.
Good job, Mayor.
Let's go to item C. Item C.
So the Polyville location where we have a backup system, they're doing a whole new modeling, and because it's our stuff per se, we have to take care of it. So the CP team, Sarah, had requested a quote for the HVAC replacement for all units.
Is there any insurance associated with this, by chance?
Insurance?
Something that would help pay for this?
Well, this has nothing to do with the work.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the we knew about this a year ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is, yeah, this is the replacement of the redundant HVAC for Army Northeast. There is a standalone unit that's included, but also three portable units that will be in each jail cell that's included in this quote. Also includes some water detection, permits, materials, and labor. $36,050.
So why are we cooling jail cells?
Because that's where our data center is for all the
So you're saying this is a backup. So if the standard HVAC fails, then we have HVAC in place, is what you're saying?
This is supplemental to the building's HVAC system. So it will be a standalone unit that sits outside as a primary and supplemental in each room.
Okay. And this is the water detection equipment you were wanting to give us a heads up on?
This water damage, this one's pertaining to the HVAC itself for water detection.
Yeah, not
for
servers. Water detection. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
I'm still going to ask my question again. Why are we cooling jail cells?
That's the part of the Colleyville building that we lease. We lease the jail cells area. What was
so we
before.
Have equipment in those cells?
Yes, we have a lot of equipment.
We have data here.
Chill it up.
And I said that.
Sometimes I'm slow. It's okay.
Okay, do we have a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second. Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Move to presentations, text to 911 update.
Okay. Having done this twice, on a single piece app and a piece app with like four little cities, this was a completely different lift. We literally probably sent about 600 texts, transfers, and et cetera, over the last five business days that we were doing this. And we're able to say that the basic work for texting 911 is installed and working correctly. Most of your PSAPs will tell you we're literally sitting in your PSAP, but we had someone riding around the cities texting. We did transfers, we did disconnects, we did abandons, we did timers. So We were very busy. A lot of work went into that. And so as far as the technology goes, we're good to go. We're just finishing the training document this today. It should be uploaded into Talent.
As soon as
the training gets it. And then we'll be sending an email out to the PSAP managers that the training is available. Our initial soft go-live date is still November 1st with the official text being done on the 3rd with Commissioner Johnson. And then we'll have already started the advertising campaign. We'll be forwarding all of the campaign documentation to the cities so that you guys can put them on your website. Abby has asked if it's easier, we will have it all on our website as well as Facebook. You can just simply copy it to your sites. That way you don't have to worry about doing any additional work. And then we'll get them in the movie theaters and we'll change, get a strike code on the car, text if you can, call if you can, text if you can, as well as redo some of the other pub ed documentation.
Are we going to receive confirmation from all the PSAPs that their staff has been adequately trained before we push it out? Or are we relying on them to just make sure
we're relying on them? Yes, we have been stressing this for over a year now.
Yeah.
Every PSAP managers meeting, we talk about it every week and three, we mentioned something, so, and there's, again, the training is 10, 15 minutes most. It's no different from TTY. It's not a heavy learning curve, so.
Okay. You had mentioned the basic functionality appears to be working as intended. Are there any areas of concern for text 911?
Not so much concerns. One thing we're not happy about is the reporting, the nice ECAT reporting we get for phones, it's not the same. It's not, any, nowhere near as beneficial when it comes to tax. And what we've discovered in talking with them, to ComTech and ECAT and many other cities that have texting, is that it's, that's just how it is. And because the volume is so low, people really haven't done anything about it. And the vendors, ComTech, excuse me, and Trotto, they want the text to go on an IP platform, so they're not really dedicating time to the legacy type versions of texting, and so that's where we are.
So, and maybe you do or do not know the answer to this, but on the ECATS, I know that it's limited, but will we at least have things such as time of day, frequency, call count, or text count? I know that there's a line item for ECATS right now for text count, but some of those bits of data that may help us in the future if there's a need for staffing or just to validate that there's not a need for staffing.
Right. Well, we can, I mean, there's some basic information like numbers like that. But one of the things that I wasn't pleased with is that, for example, you won't know who took the call. It does not put an agent's name in there. It'll tell you what time the call came in, what day, what time, the conversation, if it was transferred, who it was transferred from or to, and et cetera, how long. So, but it's very basic. It's nothing, there's no deep diving like we can do with a voice call.
So a couple of things. One, I don't remember, but did we talk about whether each location has the ability to turn on or off their ability to receive, or once we go live, everybody has it? And
we're all live,
okay. And then two, you said somebody's doing a test or a pop-up?
Commissioner Johnson wanted to do kind of like a media blitz of him texting when we first kicked off.
Okay, I think that's a horrible idea. One, because it's against the law, because it's abuse of 911. And two, now every resident who sees that is going to want to do the same thing. They're all going to want to test it to see if it works from their phone. And I see that going sideways for us.
Yeah, that could be kind of...
potentially overwhelming with ESAP, that's true.
Well, and then the fallback will be, well, he got to do it. Just...
I think if I remember correctly, you could actually have the option to opt out, but I don't think it's something that we're really... Am I incorrect on that? That you could opt out, but I don't think anyone really had the stomach to do that.
Yeah.
So, is it just adds too much complication to the world as we know it. So.
But when you said media blitz, so that is going to be pushed out to social media and media partners watching him do that, or it was just kind of like a, I was just curious, oh yeah, yeah. I'm with Chief on that. Yes.
And let me just put that up, Bill. He didn't ask to do this.
No. I just think that's something we ought to think about because we're going to have people that do it.
If he didn't ask for it, can we ask him to pull back from it? Sure. Is that possible?
Sure. I thought of the idea because you go back, you find the picture of the person who dialed the first 911 call. You find the picture of the person who did this, who did that. We don't have to have a blitz on it.
I mean, there's an aspect of testing a system while it's still in test mode, but when it's activated, we should probably avoid it. So, if it's an issue of concern over there, maybe there's a middle ground solution while we're still in test mode. Do you have a sensitivity to that?
Neither way. He'd be fine not doing it.
Okay.
Because it was not for his benefit.
Okay.
But we were planning on doing a soft launch, and we were planning on doing some type of advertising after the fact.
Sure.
And in that advertising, you're going to get people who are going to pick up the phone and try to dial 911.
Yeah, but we can then hold those people accountable. Mm-hmm. We can't hold them accountable if we have a public official who's done the same thing. Is my only concern.
if we want to take a picture of him with his phone and say that that's what he's doing, or, you know, maybe intimate that that's what he's doing, you know, as a publicity campaign.
And that was what I thought we were going to do at the start.
But as far as him actually sending a text message to 911 that's not an emergency, I think that's problematic.
I mean, if he wants to do something like that, it would be better while we're in the test mode.
Just capture a picture.
Well, and the point would be he's participating in a testing of the system, not an actual activation of the system, right? Does that sound something that's doable?
I was just doing what I was asked.
Okay.
So whatever you ask us to do.
But I just think, to Chief Spivey's point, we need to be as on target and in alignment with what we should be doing as we can. And certainly there's an opportunity for, while we're testing the system, something like that could be announced. But when it goes activated, we're not playing with it. I guess we have time. If you could ask and help us facilitate that, if that's the perspective. Sure. But I think the board would recommend we don't do it while it's live or part of the live process. Okay. Anything else on this?
Thank you to Shinar, the chief of staff for the county judge, reached out to me last week. He's working on the state of the county message that he does twice a year, and he was pushing for what is the absolute date that we can say that we will have Texas 911. So I talked with Shinar, and what we agreed on was November 17th, because that gives us time to, that gives us some wiggle room. If you overpromise and underpromise and overdeliver, then you've done good. He did make the presentation at the Northeast Chamber of Commerce on Friday. It's one slide, and said that they got an ovation when they announced the date, and that he will be giving the actual state of the county message on Friday.
So that 17th will be the day after our next meeting, I guess, right? So are we scheduled for the 16th? No, I guess we're not.
We'll be in December.
Okay. All right. Well, that's on my calendar. We got a standing ovation now?
As I said, that people clapped.
Oh, okay.
Some sort of formation.
So the 17th is the go-out date?
That's the date that we gave, yes. Okay. But we should be up and running on the 1st.
But we'll be...
I mean, technically, we could be up running today, but we need to do the tracking, so.
Right.
But you plan to flip the switch in terms of the district. You plan to flip the switch by November 1st, so you know we're saying the 17th.
Yep. And that will allow you guys to do your test training and stuff like that. And get the advertising and meet out.
Okay. Thank you. And refresh my memory, did you just say the date that Abby was going to have the marketing materials ready?
If I'm not mistaken, they're ready right now. Yeah, she's had them ready for it. We were just waiting for one more. We're trying to get a video done with some folks that showed up at the meeting we had 2 winters ago, but it just didn't work out with COVID. So.
You know, by any chance, have a 1 or 2 page synopsis sheet that could be converted into informal staff report for councils.
That's what I was just about to say. I've got her slideshow. That's not very long. But we can condense.
Yeah, if we could just condense it to
a one pager.
One pager. Yeah.
Put in council policy.
Yeah.
Within that.
Just to put, so we do a refile every week for our city council.
Exception.
And if we could get that within a week. So we could be ahead of the opening, that would be helpful. I don't know everybody else's process, but it takes a while for the reports to cycle in. Okay. Anything else? All right, we'll move to grant updates, grant program committee updates.
Just you all received the policies in the agenda package. I did do some revisions on the approval list. I sent it to the committee. Didn't get any feedback, so I'm hoping that's Good.
I've not seen any.
On September 28th, I sent to you the chief figures just to review. I took your considerations that we had on the first one, but that's what I got, and that's what I sent back to y'all, or presented to y'all today.
On the 28th?
September 28th. On 12:42 PM.
So I guess we're looking at page 42 and page 47 as the allowable expense list.
Travis, can you send that again? I have nothing from you on the 28th.
Will do.
Thank you.
Pretty much the biggest changes that we discussed at the previous board meeting was outdoor kitchens, break areas outside. General office supplies include pen, paper, holders, cell phone cases, laptop bags, file holders. And there wasn't a lot of changes to the, I don't think there were any changes actually, except for some verbiage on interoperability. That's been pretty standard.
Does anybody have a concern with these lists?
Don't have a concern, but I have a question about the operation.
Yes,
sir. Is it right and appropriate to open it up to the board for volunteers to start doing the three-person approval?
That's item number two. We're going to do that.
Oh.
Aubrey, do you have a...
I need to look at it Friday. I'll get that email on the 28th, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Or we can come back to it after we hear the other if you want to.
We can do that.
Come back, that way.
Let's go ahead and
so
go there.
We do have the ability to open the approval process up to other individuals or more individuals. And the reason why I bring this up is because we know we've delayed this for a month and we will not be meeting again until December. So Travis and I were wondering if you guys would allow us to add a few more folks to approve some of the ones we know that are waiting to go. And not have to wait till December?
I don't have a problem with it.
In lieu of the board approval, is that what you're saying?
Well, that was brought up at the recommendation.
Yes.
So we're not going to have a next board meeting until December. And actually, Mr. Brunson, if you want to touch on this, the retroactive clause, so people can go back to normally they submit stuff on October 1st. They were asking if they could have that approved, but we wouldn't be able to approve a lot of this stuff till December. So if I could put a few more, or two or three more committee or board members on this, as we get to December to kind of get caught up with everyone that's so, waiting to submit.
So help me with this, because I think the way it works right now is we have two or three people already receiving these items.
We have two now.
Two?
Because Mr. Hooten.
Okay, so we need you're asking for another one or more?
I'd like a few more, just since we're not gonna have a board meeting in November and people are building these up. Since we are 17 days already, it's going to be about 22 days before we kick this thing off.
So is that a temporary stopgap measure until, and then it would be back to the normal process moving forward?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Just,
oh, okay.
Just because we are delayed in our start and people are ready to go, and a lot of these things they usually submit October 1st because they're due currently.
If we go to four possible, does that put us in a quorum issue?
We don't want to do that. I mean, the way we're set up now, if I'm following what we're talking about, we've got a committee,
right,
that's assigned to review all these applications and make recommendations to this board.
Mm-hmm.
And the committee is doing just that. They're recommending, but the board is the one that gives the thumbs up on whether or not it's authorized, and we approve that on a monthly basis. What we're going to do until December is grant the committee authorization to approve some that are in the hopper right now. And then in December, presumably, we're going to reappoint the committee and start that process back to the normal.
The other idea was to do a virtual a quick virtual board meeting solely addressing the PSAP assistance request.
I think that's probably just for a better process, it's probably more tolerable to do it that way. I think that's more appropriate so the whole board can be on record for these things. And I think the other thing, Travis, for me is when the committee gets these things, if we can cite specifically, not just the blanket, it complies, it applies with this bullet or this bullet or this bullet of the authorized or allowable expenses, I think that would be more definitive. Because I think that's where it caught us in the past, that it was such a broad thing. And we were, it's a sort of confirmation process that here's the list, it does comply with the list. And
so in the program, there's that drop-down box that shows all the approvals.
See that? And if you could check it or highlight it, say it's this one that complies with it.
Okay, so besides saying it does meet the approval, you want to find out what line item?
I just feel like the past over the last years have gotten so, I'd like to go tighter and more definitive and emphatically state this complies with
this. I'll have to reformat that, but yeah, it's going to take a little bit of that.
Sure.
And Travis was asked to bring this forward.
But I think
by the rip, because we had one of our major cities who said, if I've got to wait till December or whatever, then I don't have the ability to participate because my two largest items have to be paid before that time.
Sure. And I think, sir, I think the retroactivity is okay as long as this board agrees with this, these allowable items. Still under review, can be under review by operator Chief Davis.
When you look at Chief Davis, we need to discuss that, right?
Chief Davis is here.
He is going to be here.
Yes. So, I think that's a fair question. So how do we orchestrate that? Is I think what I really want to understand. So retroactivity would be that they could get authorization through a virtual meeting, so we wouldn't have to worry so much about retroactivity. Is that right? So.
And the biggest request that is going to push us over that $25,000 is the same ones we get every year.
Right.
Radio system or radio maintenance, cab maintenance.
Yeah.
Those are going to be the only two that usually push us over. Everything else, they're going to probably wait on.
Right.
Those are the big ones that have been brought up is they're due now.
So for November, if we could have a November virtual with a very short agenda with these items in particular so the board can vote on these things, I think we'll cover them, correct?
Well, I'm sorry?
I think we would will they covered if we do that? If we do a...
Yeah.
I would hope so, yeah. I don't know when some of their bills are due.
Well, I mean, that's the soonest we can do it, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think we can do it any sooner. Rick, do you have a perspective?
I'm supportive. And what I was saying was, I know that I've been on it forever. You've been on it forever.
Right.
If one of the other board members would like to be on that list,
right,
I would happily step aside.
Do we have a volunteer? Any volunteers who would like to be on the?
I'll volunteer.
I'm free.
I thought you would.
You're great. I appreciate that. So that gives us three. We're not in a problem with three, correct?
It'd be fine. Yes, that's okay. Acceptable.
Okay. All right. Then that's what we'll do.
So the three is me, you, and Audrey?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless someone else has a desire to serve, I'll step down too if someone else wants to.
Well, you didn't let me step down. I saw how that worked.
All right.
Hey.
Thank you, Travis.
Coming back to this allowable expenses, there are some things that we probably need to expound upon on a couple of these. There, a lot of, and I know that we've been paying for it on the recruiting initiatives for communications personnel, The only one listed here is the personality assessment, which not everybody is using a personality assessment to pick their communications applicants. They're using different types of recruiting events, advertising, staffing consultations, and I know that we've paid for some of those. Can we not include that on that list, or was there a reason why we're not including it?
We can add it, if that's what y'all agree on.
I don't have any concerns with that. Anybody else?
So what kind of cost are you talking about?
Like,
the only thing I've ever seen is critical requests and the selective manager. I personally haven't seen anything else.
So looking forward, I know some of them will be like staffing consultation where they're hired the companies to do staffing assessments, I guess is the better word for that. Advertising, if that's something we want to consider, funding up to maybe a certain amount for advertising the positions. A lot of their cities, I'm blessed that work for a city who takes that burden on, but I know a lot of them do not. Recruiting events. Because personality assessment seems like it landlocks that in a little bit for those that don't use select advantage or other personality assessments for their communications. But like basically fees or initiatives that are associated with trying to recruit for those positions within the communications center. And then also I had a question on the CALEA communications accreditation. I know there's talk of doing some other accreditation in the future, so in lieu of having to continually change this, could we maybe just say CALEA or other emergency communication professional accreditations?
I think that's reasonable too. Anybody disagree?
We got to put subject to approval next to those two.
I just think some of this is just a little limiting for some. I didn't have any issue with any of the rest of it right now. And the plan was to review this annually anyway, so.
Okay, Travis, so you have your orders in. Okay.
Thank you, Travis.
All right, let's move to Executive Director's Report. I'm sorry, did we cover everything, Travis? Is that it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, item A, section 7.
All right, just three items on the strategic plan update that I wanted to give you guys, and then discuss the two that will be added to this. The physical plant renovations are almost done, with the exception of the ADA compliance work. We have to move a toilet over 2 inches. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not cheap. So we're waiting for someone to come and retile the floor so they can put the toilet back. So that's, other than that, we've got all the rest of the ADA compliance stuff out. You've noticed the parking lot now has signs for the both van and accessible areas. The second one is PSAP network switch replacement, 10 years old, 111. We are still actively working on a design for that with the expectation to implement in the spring. And then the last one was the radios that Travis is doing for the backup centers.
Can we go back to the switch replacement?
Mm-hmm.
So can you give us a little more detail about that?
That's what we talked about back in May, I believe, when we're coming off the Sonnet Ring.
Right.
Going to ADE type system. So we have to revamp the whole system to get rid of the ring.
Okay.
And then the two initiatives that we're working on are, of course, the revamping of the ring, and then we are working with various services and investigating core services or full IPFC network type services so that we have an idea what that looks like for us in the next couple of years. Once the legacy system continues to be broken down and no longer is available, we need to be ready to pick up that list. So we're working with several agencies and having meetings and virtual now, but to see what's out there, what's being done, and in regards to core services.
Okay. Item B.
911 service denotification. We did get that outdated the 25th, and Renee has some stats.
We sent 250 letters out. 196 have been confirmed, delivered, and counted certified mail. So that's about 78%. Seven of them have been returned. The ones that are out there either are waiting to be picked up or arranged to be redelivered or are on their way back to us because the companies no longer exist or have been absorbed by another company.
So this was the notification to the end user,
mm-hmm.
for the bill.
Okay. So we sent both to the carriers, the vendors, and the tax preparer and fee preparer, so that way they got hit twice to make sure that they got the notification. Fortunately, a lot of the tax preparers use the same persons, so they're like lumped in groups, so it was made it a little bit easier, but it took a full 5 days. The certified mail process at USPS was very painful. had no idea what was going to be involved, but Renee and Rachel came in one of our temps that we used. They spent an extensive amount of time getting that out. So
thank you. A lot of time at the post office.
New best friends.
Well, I think this will go a long way in improving the stability of 911 here in Tarrant County, because I think we've been talking about it for 10 years, and it's finally happened. Thanks to everyone, Mayor in particular. Thank you, sir, and helping us get here. It's a long, long challenge. We're finally here. I guess you'll tell us when we're officially here.
Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. You're probably here doing a happy dance.
Sure. Okay.
All right. And the last is the board meeting dates. As requested, once these are approved, we will be sending out calendar invites. That's on your very last page on the back. The only change we're requesting to be made is the January one. Literally Thursday afternoon, myself and a few other staff members found out that they want to do a NENA and AFCO board meeting in Galveston on the 25th. So we asked the board to allow us to attend that and request the board meeting be moved to January 11th.
You can attend virtually.
Any comments? I guess we're okay?
Yes,
all right.
Thank you. And again, we will be sending these out to you guys in the next few days.
Okay. I guess we'll move to briefings and Bill.
Good afternoon. Since our last board meeting, one of the Alliance members has met with Representative Phil King from Weatherford about reliability funding legislation. The reason they were meeting with Representative King is really his history and experience in dealing with telecommunication issues and 911 issues. The meeting went really well. He was very receptive and understanding of the need for this type of legislation. He was more receptive to the version that allowed each district to choose the increase, but he wanted, he was very concerned that the legislature maintain the ability to set a cap, which the legislation provides for, and he wanted this to be he wanted to make sure that this process is a very open and transparent type of process. We have provided versions, all three versions of the bill to Senator Hancock's chief of staff for their feedback. We should have a meeting imminent with Senator Hancock and his chief of staff to get their feedback on the legislation. And we're working on a meeting with Representative Dennis Paul from the Harris County area. He's the chairman of the House Homeland Security and Public Safety Committee. This bill would go through his committee, which provided he's still the chair, because as you're all aware, we're in the thick of elections. And in the Senate, there's 16 out of 31 seats up for grabs. Really, there's only one seat that I would say is going to be a contest, and that's down in Bexar County in Senate District 19. Right now, Senator Pete Flores is a Republican. He's He was elected in a special election almost 2 years ago. It's a very Democrat-leaning district, and he's facing longtime state representative Roland Gutierrez in that seat. I expect that seat to flip back to the D side, but it really won't make a difference in the Senate because the Republicans will still have a majority. Dan Patrick will still be the lieutenant governor and control legislation. Now, in the House, very different. I agreed to you before that the D's need to grab 9 seats to flip the House. And the latest polling that I've seen shows them being able to get up to 11 seats. So, right, you know, we're kind of in a sort of a hurry up and wait mode from a legislative perspective because we won't know who the speaker is until the session. And the speaker appoints all the committees, committee chairs. If the D's get it, I've heard Sinfronia Thompson, I don't know if you're familiar with her, she's been in the House, 40 plus years. She's a long time Democratic lawmaker from Houston. She's an attorney down there. And on the Republican side, one of the names I'm hearing is Chris Patty, who is from Marshall, Texas, in East Texas. But we're not going to see, I would be shocked if we see any announcements about speaker before the election. The only one that's come out, and that was this morning, and that's Ford Price, who is a state representative from Amarillo, came out and said, regardless who controls the House, he is not going to be a candidate for speaker. He's currently the chair of the House Calendars Committee. So I would say the day after Election Day, we will probably see statements come flying out about all these members who are going to be jockeying for speaker. And you know, the old joke is there are 150 members in the House, and of those 150 members, 150 of them believe they should be speaker. So it's going to be a sprint from Election Day to the first day of session to determine who is the Speaker of the House, and then who is going to get those appointments. You know, with the races in our area, it's really all the suburban districts in Dallas-Fort Worth and in the Harris County area, we're seeing tons and tons of money flowing in because these are the swing districts. So I would expect if the Democrats do pick up the seats that they're thinking they are, a great deal of them are going to be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And a few in Houston, maybe a couple around the Austin area and in Bexar County as well. But right now, again, it's just sort of a, where are we going to be come Election Day? How many are they going to pick up? And how is that going to impact us when we move into this session? And if I had a crystal ball, I'd love to be able to tell you what I think, but I just don't.
So back to the fees, cap, expectation that it'd be a cap.
And yes, sir.
And then the local jurisdictions would be on the hook for determining what the fee would be under the cap.
That is what Representative King seemed most receptive to. Now, Senator Hancock may have a different idea. Representative Paul may have a different idea. And, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in this is the AT&T's of the world and what their take on this is, you know. But it's really, we just got to see how the leadership feels about these three versions. We try to give them, or when I say we, the alliance, is trying to give them as many options as we feel like that we can, that's palatable for everyone to go and pick and choose.
Okay, great.
I think it's just fair to point out that no matter who wins the House, I will not be a candidate for speaker.
Pulled your name.
Yeah, I'm in my name right now.
Duly noted.
Thank you. Make sure they know that.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, we think for executive session.
Yes.
Okay. Open it up for public comment. Public. just, I'll ask a quick question of the board, if anyone has anything for me to hear regarding our evaluation of the executive director, please send me something within a month, please. And I've gotten some Chief Spivey, but nobody else yet, so. Okay, with that, looks like our next board meeting is, fiscal board meeting will be December 7th, but we'll do a virtual one in November.
We'll probably anticipate the next 2 weeks, once,
okay,
once we open up the peace out of systems and we see what,
okay,
exactly what comes through, we should be able to fairly quickly get you guys on a virtual meeting.
Okay, great, that'd be great. Anyone else? All right, with that, this meeting will stand adjourned. Thank you.
Mayor, could you reach and say, Philip?